podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is the View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Thursday, the 2nd of January, 2020. My name is Patrick Smith, and I'll not lie, the result of the Belfast Giants-Dundee game in Dundee this afternoon has made this podcast a little bit easier, but it's we have a lot to talk about because we haven't spoken since the 18th. Of December. So a happy new year to everybody. I hope you had a lovely Christmas and New Year's period, that you enjoyed yourself out there. The Giants had a bit of a mixed bag, but we'll come on to that. First of all, I'll introduce my two good friends. Happy New Year, Mr. McGimsey.
And a happy new year to you and Simon and Joel and everybody that's listening. Yeah, happy new year.
Good. Mr. Kitchen, I'm going to chat. Happy new year to you, and you've had an eventful one as well. We'll talk about the Spengler Cup later on, but you had a good Christmas period?
I did, mate, yeah. You know, Jazz and Sophie are certainly well looked after. So Jazz has been on her iPhone 11 now for what seems like a complete week solid. And eventually I just took it off her last night. I've let her get on, but you know, she's getting ready for going back to school again next Monday, so she's got to start sleeping now, and I rang her pattern, so she's in her bed already.
Well, that's the way it is, mate. That's the way it is.
Oh, it is, absolutely.
On this week's show, we'll be looking, across all the games over the Christmas and New Year period. A few choice things from around the league. But as there's a lot to cover, we're basically just going to make this as quick as we can to sort of bring you up to date as to what's taken place in the last 2 weeks. We're going to have a chat with the head coach of the Belfast Giants, Adam Keefe, before previewing the Coventry double and maybe have a bit of chat about the Friendship Series as well. So there have been 7 games since we last chatted. Rather than take you through the enormous amount of stats around all of those games, we're going to take them as regards to a chat as one big unit. So I'll run you through the games and the scores like you don't know these already. But just to bring you up to speed, we're going to take you all the way back that second leg of the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup away to the Cardiff Devils. Obviously, the Devils had taken a 1-0 defeat in Belfast. And they shut the Belfast Giants out again, 4-0. Stephen Dixon, Sam Duggan, Joey Martin and Josh Batch. Dixon scoring in the power play, Martin scoring short-handed. And the Cardiff Devils progress to the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, a 5-0 aggregate. The Belfast Giants being eliminated from the competition they have won for the past 2 seasons. Back to Belfast on the 21st of December to face that very same Cardiff Devils, and it was a 4-2 victory for the visiting side, and Cardiff continued to shut the Belfast Giants out for the first 2 periods of that game, scoring Marjamaki and Stephen Dixon scoring in the first and the second respectively, before the Giants hit back with Bobby Farnham. Sam Jardine made it 3-1, Curtis Hamilton made it 3-2, and then Blair Riley into the empty net finished off the scoring in the league game 4-2 at the SSE Arena. The Giants went into Christmas hoping things could pick up. They needed a win just before that, and the next day they went over 2-5 to face the Flyers, a place that only the few weeks previous we had troubles and we were defeated. This time, a 3-1 victory for your Belfast Giants. And it was the new man, Elgin Pearce, the former Dundee star who's come into the lineup, and we'll talk about him in a minute. He got the opening goal for the Belfast Giants in the second period. The other goals from the Giants come from Jordan Smotherman and Bobby Farnham on the power play. Danik Gauthier getting the only marker for the 5 Flyers. And we went into Christmas Day with that starting to build, knowing that those 2 games against the Clan were just around the corner. And they were very enjoyable indeed. The 27th of December, that first game against the Glasgow Clan, the Belfast Giants at the SSE Arena, took a 5-1 victory. New guy, Rickard Pamberg, with the opener. Elgin Pierce was second. Rickard Pamberg was second of the game. Brian Ward and Pamberg then rounding off the hat-trick to take the victory. The only goal for the Clan coming from Matthew Waugh. The next day, it was all the way over to the shopping centre in the Brayhead Arena. Glasgow Clan still having, I think it's no win in six at that point. Giants made it no win in seven. A 4-1 victory for the Giants. David Goodwin opening the scoring in the first period. Matthew Waugh making it 1-1 in the second before Goodwin got a second, one from Curtis Hamilton and a power play goal from Curtis Leonard. Rounded it to scoring 4-1 to the Giants. That was a 9-2 aggregate over the two games. Now, some traditions of Christmas come along all the time, and this seemed to be another one. I'll have to talk to Davey in a second statistically about this, but the Dundee Stars rocked into the SSE Arena the day before New Year's Eve on the 30th of December, and they walked away with a 6-3 victory. The only goals for the Giants coming from David Goodwin, Bobby Farnham and Patrick Mullen, but Kevin Dufour, Matt Carter, Colton Croker, Matt Marquand, and then two more from Dufour to get his hat-trick, both of those in the empty net, rounded off a 6-3 victory. And then we come to today's game against the Dundee Stars, the Giants looking for some form of revenge, and they got that. But it wasn't easy, let's be fair. The Dundee Stars raced into a 2-0 lead. Matt Carter with an even strength goal in the first period and a power play goal in the second to give the home side a 2-0 stretch. And then their former boy in the power play, Elgin Pierce, steps up. Power play goal. Ben Lake into the third period. Makes it 2-2, and then in the dying depths, that there was just over 2 minutes on the clock, the Giants had to find it from somewhere, and it was David Goodwin, a player who's been excellent for the Giants so far and is up for the player of the month with the winning goal. 3-2 to your Belfast Giants. So that's a 4-0 victory to the Cardiff Devils, a 4-2 victory to the Cardiff Devils, a 3-1 victory for the Giants over the Flyers, a 5-1 victory for the Giants over the Clan, a 4-1 victory for the Giants over the Clan, a 6-3 defeat at the hands of the Dundee Stars, and a 3-2 victory today over Dundee in the 100th game against them and final game against them this season. So with those results, I guess we're going to take it all the way back to the start, Davey. Unfortunately, the Giants out of the cup, and a double shutout at that, which, you know, we're going to take this whole sort of Christmas period as one bunch, but taking that in itself is, for the reigning champions to go out the way we did, is just not acceptable, really, is it?
I was at the game myself, down in Cardiff. It had all the hallmarks of an absolute, you know, we'd gone there a couple of weeks before, we'd done really well across the two games.
Yep.
We came out, I don't know, this is a little corny to say, 3 or 4 minutes. It was absolutely brilliant. It was a hard-hitting game. Both teams looked right up for it. First goal was obviously going to be crucial. Story of our season, we took perhaps what you'd call a pretty soft penalty. It was a little hooking call. I think it was longer down behind the net. He's put in the penalty box. And they have a killer power play. And fortunately for them, the guy was able to get, you know, it's one of those ones, because you're up in the gantry there, you can sort of, it's like watching from above, and you could see the play coming. Guy got loose in front and he's managed to tuck it in. And from then, I felt that night we really lost our sort of run of ourselves. We lost our discipline. After that, we were kind of settling scores, and, you know, we took our eye off the ball, eye off the puck, whatever you want to say, for the rest of that game. You know, I don't think we'd have played there for another game and particularly got anything out of it. We had a few looks, but really, really few. I think maybe the third period was something like 3 shots. I don't have the stats in front of me. It's that long ago. I haven't bothered. Didn't know we were going to talk about it. But a really, we always say about, you don't get too high with the highs, don't get too lows with the low. That was a real low performance for me, as well as a low result. You know, yeah, we came in 1-0 down. Even at 2-0 down, you're not out of the game. But we were just going through that little period there where we couldn't buy a goal. Especially against Cardiff, for what, look, they're a good team. big bodies. They're hard to get inside on. But if you want to, you know, if you want to score goals, you've got to pay the price. I just didn't feel that there was enough. There was two or three good performances. I thought Bobby Farnham that night again. The crowd got into his head a little bit as well, but Bobby went, well, I was going to say for 60 minutes, he got three out with a few minutes to go. but he kept that edginess about him. He kept trying to throw the hits, but we didn't play well on the night. And when you don't play well in Cardiff against Cardiff, you get what happened to us. And unfortunately, that was the cup defence was over.
That's it. And between that game, you know, what Davey was at, and then coming in to face the Cardiff Devils at the SSE Arena a few days later. Obviously, we brought Elgin Pearce into the lineup from the Dundee Stars, and the Giants did get a couple of goals, but once again, Cardiff just having their way with things.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a case of a little too late. You know, they got a, from memory, they got a couple of goals up, and then we pulled one back, and then they scored like a minute and a half after that as well. So, you know, going 3-1 down, that was into the third period. I thought we played better. Bounds was outstanding that night. I thought he was really, really solid. Let's not make any bones about this. They are a solid team. We knew at the start of the season they were going to be, you know, up there or thereabouts. If they talk about budgets and stuff like that. Cardiff Devils spend more than anybody, I would guess, and they have a lot of money behind them. They've certainly went out and brought a couple of new additions into that lineup. That big defence, Morrison, is absolutely outstanding. He's a beast. He's probably not the fastest player in the world, but he does, if you watch him during the game itself, he just does things a little bit simpler than everybody else, but does them very, very effectively. Blair Riley was well up for it. He obviously got his empty goal at the end of it, and that was disappointing. You want to try and keep him off the score sheet.
Absolutely.
But I thought it was a better performance than obviously the Wednesday night previous. I thought that, Davey's already touched on it. Obviously, he was there and he had a better view than what we had on the webcast. But I just thought that the effort levels weren't good enough on that Wednesday night. I thought, we hear Adam taking a lot of responsibility for maybe line changes and not getting guys into the game and taking on the chin. And I've already said this before about the coach trying to divert all the pressure onto him. But coming into that Christmas period of the game against Cardiff at home and then five away, wasn't it? Coming into that, coming into those games, I thought there was a few players let him down, especially in Cardiff. I thought that there's guys out there who, and this is probably still, I even after Monday night's game and tonight's game as well against Dundee Stars, I think there's guys there who are not giving it their all. And I'm not going to name names because I think if they look in the mirror, they'll be able to tell themselves, guys, I can give more. And I think there's maybe two or three guys there that are in that situation. So, all we're asking for is when you put that jersey on, you're representing us, you're representing our city, you're representing our fans, and you're representing yourselves. It was very disappointing to lose against the Dundee Stars on Monday night. I just didn't think we were good enough. I had a bad feeling before the game. I said to Davey, and Davey will back me up on this, I just didn't feel it. Dundee have sort of come into our place this season and already won twice, and then with that game the other night, that's a 3-1 record for them this season. And with the greatest respect to the Dundee Stars, that is simply not good enough.
It's a team at the bottom of the league. This is no slight on Omar Pasha. The bottom end of the league, the Giants, if they have any aspirations on titles, should be dispatching or should at least have a winning record. Dropping a game here or there against that level of opposition, you can sometimes excuse, but having a home record like that against the Dundee Stars makes things even more difficult for a team trying to retain the elite league title. But Davey, Sizz makes the comment about effort levels there, and the Giants went into Fife the last time they went into Fife, it was a defeat. So to go for a 3-1 win over Fife and then after Christmas, two stonking victories over Glasgow Clan, you started to feel that maybe we were finding our feet again.
Are we skipping past the, didn't we play the Devils at home, or were we just...
You can come back to that. Sizz was talking about it there, but if you want to come back to that, absolutely.
No, I'm happy to skip past any loss. What's the question, Paddy? Just that the,
no, I was saying about that. Sis was making a comment about effort levels, and especially in that Cardiff home game.
The Cardiff away game, I thought the effort level just wasn't there. After we conceded the goal, as I say, I know it's really corny and all. We came out, we were up for it. I think we'd possibly even flown in, you know, early for that game. We were prepped and ready to go, and we came out of the blocks. Both teams did. Great hard-hitting game. But once we got behind, the heads went down, and it did. I think if anybody looks back at the video, you know, the body language wasn't great at times, and we have had that over the Christmas period as well. I thought that Monday night's game, no Sizz touched on it there. I thought we were really lethargic at times. You know, I don't know whether I said on the webcast or not, but, you know, slow line changes, and that there's reasons for that. You know, all of a sudden shift times are getting extended because guys are spending the first 20 seconds of the shift getting into it, chasing the puck down. By the time they chase the puck down, it's almost time to get off the ice. So, you know, they can get a wee bit, they can stay on the ice a wee bit long. Then their shifts are extra long. Guys are sitting for longer. Guys aren't getting any ice time at all. And it just upsets everything. And, you know, I just think we were really disjointed against the Stars the other night. I'm not prepared to say effort level, but we just looked lethargic. We looked leggy. You know, a lot of games have been played in December. A lot of the teams have played a lot of games too. So, you know, you can't really use that as an excuse. Everybody's played a lot of hockey, more or less the same hockey, this stage of the season. Maybe half a dozen games more than we started in August. But, like, we haven't played, you know, Sheffield have played a couple of games more in the league. So it's more or less balanced out. You know, Simon's saying there's a couple or three guys probably have more. There's probably more than that, because if you look at the consistency of performances, we have guys who, when they come and they bring their A game, they bring it for 60 minutes. This team's showing that it's peerless. It's been able to beat the Cardiffs. It's been able to beat the Sheffields, the Nottinghams. You know, it's the defending league champion. Of course, you're going to get teams with their tail up coming in against you that want to beat the champions. They want to be the best. You've got to beat the best. And, you know, unfortunately for us, I just think at times, through the inconsistency of the whole season, it's getting the consistency of performance and effort level and buy-in on a nightly basis is what we need. And that's not what's been there, and that's why there's been changes made. I don't know whether we'll make any more changes, which is obviously the question mark over Palmberg. Everyone's seen the elite prospect stuff, so we'll talk about that later. But, you know, we talked a few weeks ago, until we get a settled team, transfer deadlines over, this is what we've got. Bang, the guys have to, you're here for the season, pull your socks up, get on with it. There's guys that are chomping at the bit to get more ice time. I know that Adam Keefe has said that on interviews as well. You know, there's an opportunity for guys to play themselves into the ice time. You know, they've got to take it when they get it.
So then where, Davey, do these, like, hammering victories with the Glasgow Clan and a 3-1 victory in Fife sit into that? Because obviously, with the 5-1 victory at home and the 4-1 victory away and the 3-1 victory in Fife, that these guys are showing that they can perform at that level, that they can, or is that a reflection on the opposition as well?
I think there's an element of confidence. When we get out in front, we can't take the penalties. You know, there's loads of factors as to why we're not doing well. Confidence, you've seen the stats there that we're talking about earlier on. Tonight was the first time this season we have overturned a scoreline to win. You know, it's the first time we haven't scored first on one away from home this season. That's a startling fact by playing in January for a team that wants to has aspirations of winning leagues, that it hasn't overturned a result this season. That's a good thing. We've managed to do that. That could be mental. We've run into penalty trouble, and we've a really, really good penalty kill. But my goodness, it's having to work hard. It's having to, you know, kill far more penalties than any other kill. So that means that there's guys who don't kill penalties are sitting on the bench, you know, for a period of game because, you know, they're 5, 6, 7 minutes down on ice time because they're not getting regular shifts because they're not killing penalties. You know, the power play just simply hasn't been good enough, anywhere near good enough. Riddle me why that is, I don't know. But I think confidence is one of the massive things. When we get behind, I've said it in the podcast over a number of weeks, we just don't chase well. And that is down to confidence. And we go in and we take, I know I said to Simon the other night about a sort of low percentage shot. Somebody just sort of wristed in from the top of the circle. And it seemed to almost be just to try and set up a face-off, a set play, which we're running, you know, on a good night, your face-off runs at 60%. On a bad night, 40. Average is about 50. So if you throw in a wrist shot into the goalie's chest, you've a 50% chance of getting the puck back. You know, and to me, we should be looking to put that round the horn, or we should be looking to stop up and try and do something at the blue line. Not give, you know, you keep possession, you have a better chance of scoring than a 50-50. So for me, there's lots of little things that guys can work on. I'm not going to try and critique. I don't play the game, so I can't pretend to critique it in any other way than, you know, say what I see. But I just think there's a few issues running through the roster that don't need a massive amount to get ironed out. Why we can absolutely gub the Clan twice, why we can go to Fife and have a really solid victory and then really stink, because that's what happened. Monday night was a stinking performance, for me anyway. I don't know, Paddy.
It's funny, it says, you know, Davey brings up a good point regards to these sort of statistical adversities that we've come up, you know, be it overturning a deficit in an away game, be it, you know, at the start of the season, finding it difficult to find an away win, then we're finding it difficult to find goals in general, and now we've, you know, this is something that we've now been able to turn over, and other things we've been able to turn over. The Giants have had to try to find these ways, these changes in the lineups to make things better, to try to improve going into different opponents. But going back to those two games against the Glasgow Clan, you know, the tails were really up. Now, the Clan, despite crowing about being top of the league in whatever it was, the second week or whatever it was, you know, they're going through their own failings. But the Giants had to beat them, and they did resoundingly.
Yeah, I thought we were pretty solid those two nights. And, you know, we got buy-in. We talk about scoring goals that are the consistency where we're not, you know, getting on the score sheet as much as we can. The last five games, we scored 20 goals. Three of those games, we only conceded one. So defensively, they were sound. You know, we're playing well. I mean, there was one stage that looked like a shutout for Shane Owen against Glasgow, I think it was the first game. Mm-hmm. Or Stephen Murphy, sorry, I think
Stephen
it was
Murphy.
The first game.
Yep, Stephen Murphy.
You know, and then obviously you conceded that one late one from them, and they come into the third period. You give them a bit of momentum. We talked about on the webcast, you know, obviously you're four or five up, whatever it was, and we just seemed to stop playing. That's not the first time this season either. We pummeled the Clan, I think it was 6-1 at the first game of the season, the first Challenge Cup game of the season. And to be honest, we should have been on and absolutely annihilated them that night. But we stopped skating. We stopped moving our feet. We stopped everything. They come out and score. And it gives momentum going into the next night. They get the next win in Glasgow. And then, you know, you bring it back to this as well. And, you know, you just need – I think it was Davey, actually. Davey asked, I think it was Kevin Rain the other night, you know, when you get up, three or four goals, and you go into the third period, is it a matter of mentality, or you're sort of saving yourself for the next night? That shouldn't be the case. Yes, you should. You maybe, you know, Adam obviously utilized his bench a lot more. He was giving the guys in the fourth line a lot more ice time against the Glasgow Clan, were 5-1 up. But it's sometimes it's difficult to get those guys into the game. And the main reason is discipline. Take tonight. We had 10 2-minute penalties tonight.
Yeah.
10. That's a whole period you're down. A whole bloody period.
Yeah.
And a lot of those penalties are selfish. Selfish, selfish penalties. There's no need to be taken. You're not moving your feet. You're being lazy. You're not getting your detail. Get your f***ing finger out.
It's difficult. But let's take it to today's game then, Davey. You know, and that 3-2 win in Dundee. 2-0 down. You've said it yourself. It's the first time this season away from home we've been able to turn around that deficit. We had to find a way at 2-0 down to get back into the game. Goodwin gets the winning goal in the dying minutes of that match. So what was the difference today?
I'd like to have been a fly on the wall in the second period break. In the Giants locker room, when you're, you know, I imagine the coach earned his money tonight. He maybe told the boys, you know, this is, chips are down here, lads. You just need to go out, turn this around, 2-1 down, 20 minutes, potentially to start saving a season. I know that sounds ridiculous when you look at our league position.
But it's the level of opponent and the confidence to gain from it. So yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, so, you know, this has to be a stat that, I know I love my stats, and credit to the stat boys for recording all these things for me. But, yeah, I know they call me the stat man, but I'm just the CEO of the team, as said on the on the webcast, like Stevie, Phil, Keelan, and all the other Twitter wannabes. There's plenty of room for them all, by the way. But like, we record these things, and coming into tonight's game, as we said, we haven't, you know, went behind in a game this season and turned it around. That has to be something that the coach needs to say, look, boys, now, see, when you go behind, we've proven we've went and done it. We'll go behind, we'll stay with the process. We'll get our shots on goal, we'll get our traffic in front. See what Dundee did to us on Monday night. They got power plays, they moved Owen left or right, they got bodies in front, they got shots on target. That's all you can ask. Put the puck on the net, you know, the old cliche, good things can happen. And we need to get guys going into that blue paint against the likes of Cardiff, not staying perimeter, not throwing low percentage shots from bad angles and going for face-offs in the offensive zone. We need to take the play of the opposition. We need to get, when we've had success this season, and it happened that the two games against the Glasgow Clan, the majority of the goals were scored from driving that. Bobby Farnham, even the other night, hacking and whacking in the blue paint. You know, the pass from Liam Reddick's, a beautiful pass across the ice for Mullen coming in at the back door. All these things happening in and around the net. And when we stay perimeter and we don't go in there, we don't have success. So the buy-in is coming to the rink that night and saying, I'm going to go to the dirty areas to score a goal. And when that happens and we get the buy-in and we stick with the process and we tick more boxes than we don't tick, we'll win the games. Hockey's simple. It's complicated by people, and then when it gets complicated, that's when we don't succeed. When you just get the puck and you get it to the net and you've got people going to the net, you score goals. And these guys are all highly qualified professional athletes that know how to do it way better than I ever will. But when they go to the blue paint, they get success. So that's what they have to stick with.
Says?
Couldn't put it better myself.
Was that the difference today?
Yeah, absolutely was. You know, again, I thought we were absolutely brutal for the first 40 minutes. One thing that Davey talks on there, that in between the second period, you know, Adam would have earned his corn. I think he earned his corn at 22.15 on the clock. They scored their second goal. He calls a timeout. And you could see that he was, what's the word for it? Animated. And he was pissed off. And you just knew that, you talk about maybe getting into the locker room in between the second period. I wouldn't want to be in the room with Adam Keefe at the end of the second period when you're 2-0 down to the Dundee Stars anymore. I reckon he'd be ready in there and he'd probably take somebody up by the roots. So, you know, good to see the reaction. Really, we always try and take the positives from the games. The first 40 minutes was dire tonight. Let's not make no mistake about that. But the last 20, I thought we dominated. I thought we absolutely deserved the two goals that we got. Maybe, you know, Leclerc didn't work him enough. I thought that Dundee, again, I actually thought Dundee tired in the third period, which is very unlike them. They're usually a very big energy team. I thought they played very, very well. You talk about changes being made, and we've brought in four new players in the last, month. So you've got Palmberg, Goodwin, Liney, and Pierce. And, you know, has that made us better? Yeah, I think it has. Defensively, I still think we're probably suffering. But when you take a player of Patrick Mullen capabilities out of the lineup, and we're still missing Kevin Rain, you know, any team in this elite league would miss both of those players.
Agreed.
When they're both fit, 99.9% of the time they play. So, you know, it's a big miss missing Patrick Mullen tonight. Hopefully Kevin Rae and Patrick Mullen are back very soon for us, because we're a far better team when they're in the lineup. Obviously somebody else has to miss out on that occasion, but you have to battle for your ice time. You know, there's, you talk about guys that, you know, maybe don't get ice time, and there's guys that do deserve more ice time, and there's guys that need to work harder for ice time. So it's, as I said, it's time to get their bloody fingers out now. We're coming into January. It's a long road down this next January, February, March road down to the last game of the season. We play Cardiff the season that sorry the game before the last game of the season. Let's hope we're in the mix right the whole way down to that. But as I say, we need to really sort this out and get going, because if we don't get more consistency in our game between now and the end of this month, we can just wave goodbye, like the league championship, in my opinion.
All those games, I assume today's games, will have the 25-minute highlights from the Dundee Stars. You'll find them on YouTube. You'll find them all. We'll tweet them up on a View from the Bridge as well. We're going to hear from Adam Keefe in just a second, and we'll ask him about some of the changes and the bringing of Elgin Pearson and the likes. But of all the changes, and I'll just get your reaction to this, and it's one we were actually pretty disappointed about, is the fact that out the door went Patrick Ronka. He's gone to Gap in France, where he's, you know, he scored as many goals for them now in three games as he did for the Belfast Giants. But so he's scoring, his scoring touches returned in that league. Says I'll start with you, mate. You know, we all had high hopes for Patrick Ronka, and he's a nice kid, and he showed that he's got the talent in the hands, but there was just no final product.
I've been sitting thinking about this for the last few days, because it was actually Jasmine brought it up to my attention. And she seen that she follows him on Instagram and his dog, and noticed that he scored a game-winning goal there in Gap the other night. And says, "Well, what's the difference, Dad, between him playing over there and playing here?" And I said, "Look, I can't answer that." I says, "I think this is a tougher league than what France is, but I just can't answer that. You know, we seen how good this kid can be last year when he played for Katowice.
I agree.
You know, he was unbelievable. He was, as soon as he was signed, everybody was excited to see this 23-year-old Polish kid come into Belfast. But for one reason or the other, he just never really got going. And I think it might be the problem that the guys that he was playing with, it's just a little bit, you know, we all know he can skate it like the wind. Absolutely. But some players are just a little bit smart. You know, you talk about doing the right thing and making smart decisions on the ice and obviously off the ice. But, you know, when you look at the likes of Teddy Sheringham playing football, Teddy Sheringham had his first, it's probably not a good analysis because you're a Liverpool fan, but, you know, Teddy Sheringham had his first 3-4 yards in his head.
Yep.
And, you know, Patrick Ronka was probably the same. You know, it's just annoying that he just didn't get going to the standards that we were hoping that he was going to get into, because I was so excited to see this kid coming in. I really thought he was going to light the league up, and unfortunately for him and us, it's not going to be the case this year, and you just never know what's going to happen down the line. You know, money talks, and he could end up in another elite league team, or he could end up back in Belfast. You just never know. But very disappointing the way it's ended. We've brought in a little bit more grit. You know, Elgin Pearce has done very well. Davey, how many points did he got now? Is it 7 or 8? He's 3 points tonight.
Yeah.
You know, so 4 or 5 games, he's got 7 or 8 points. And obviously, you know, he got that power play goal tonight to get us going. So, you know, sometimes, as I say, you make little changes. And you talk about Elgin Pearce and Patrick Ronka even. Dundee have brought in 2 new players, and yeah, Matt Carter's one of them. He scored another 2 goals tonight.
Yep.
You know, so just making a change in the locker room. You could see Patrick. I'm lucky enough to see the boys in the dressing room, you know, on the ice for practice and what have you. And you could see Patrick wasn't happy. You could see that, you know, from September to the week before December, week before Christmas, you could see that his whole demeanor had changed. When he came in September, he was buzzing. You know, every time he came into the locker room, Taff was talking about him, such a great kid, smiling. And because you're just not, things aren't going your way, it's about attitude. And he's had to make a big change as well, coming from Poland to live in Belfast. You know, it's a lot of people don't take these things into consideration. So it's a big, big step for him. He's still only a kid. He's the only person that he knew here was his girlfriend. When he came in, he brought his girlfriend with him. So making all these changes can affect people. And listen, I wish him the best of luck in France and wherever he goes on to play, unless he comes to the elite league, then I'll certainly give him a text and give him dog's abuse. But he's such a nice kid, a real, real good lad. And as I say, unfortunately, it just didn't work out for him in Belfast.
Interesting, wasn't it, Davey? It's the fact that, as I said, you know, we'd seen him last season with Katowice. I'd say like the CHL games and those preseason, especially the preseason games, he sort of burst onto this scene for us, and you saw the real potential, the real speed, the great hands, and we really hoped that it would turn into something maybe akin to Chris Higgins or something like that, and it just didn't really transpire for him.
I think he's probably the right player at the wrong time, perhaps, when a team's struggling for offense and he was sort of relied on to sort of spark things at times, and it wasn't happening for him, probably because he was that little bit more perimeter, perhaps, due to his size. You know, when you compare him and Higgy, and you probably stand them side by side, you know, Higgy will drive the net as well as, you know, play around the outside and take a D-man on and make him look stupid and score a goal. Patrick, as things went on, became more and more perimeter, became more and more outside, looking for that inside pass rather than perhaps going for goal himself. Would I take Patrick Vronka back in Belfast again? Absolutely. I think, as I said at the start, I think the kid has came to Belfast at a transitional time. You know, we talk about this all the time. The goals that were the players that we lost from last season, and you're going into almost a transition season. You know, if you took this team and said, right, we'll put it together again exactly the same next year, the players know a little bit more about the league, the style. We talked about not having players at a point a game, and you brought Elgin Pearson, 9 points in six games, you know, that 1.5 point a game player that you need, that unfortunately Patrick Vronka wasn't. Vronka's just, he had, we watched him in Katowice, Polish international player of the year, and he went to the World Championships, whatever division he was, starred for Poland, came here, starred pre-season, scored a thing against Liberec today on the first night of the season in the CHL as well. Yeah. Did well in those early games. Did well in the early games in the season. And we struggled on the road. And once this team began to tighten up, Vronk just wasn't the guy that was unlocking things. And sadly for him, you know, 18 points in 37 games just wasn't enough to keep his job, less than half a point a game. He was relied on for more. And when you think back, you're relying on a 23-year-old coming to a new country, didn't speak English. You know, how many of these Canadian and North American guys signed for us and cite, you know, it's an English-speaking country as one of the great reasons for coming here? Patrick could barely say his name in English, you know, whenever he arrived here in the summer. And he had all those things to deal with. Feel sorry for him. I'm glad he's doing well in Gap. I wish he was doing well for the Belfast Giants. I don't really ever see him back in Belfast. Could have seen him in the Elite League, possibly. Would have taken him back in Belfast, absolutely. I really, really like the kid. I think he's got game and spades. As he gets older and maybe develops a little bit more physically, and he learns that, a bit like what we're talking about in the previous games there, to score goals, you have to get in there. And I think, just unfortunately with him, he didn't get in there enough and he didn't get the points, and points win prizes, and unfortunately for him, it's cost him his job.
I think there's another bit, lads, for Ronks. And again, it's one of the things I was thinking about the other night. You two wouldn't remember, but when I was only a kid when it happened as well, Ozzie Ardiles and Ricky Villa came into Tottenham in 1979. And when they came in, the reason that they brought them in together, two Argentinians coming to England, and just try and get them to settle in that little bit more and a little bit easier. And again, as Davey touched on there, you know, obviously Vronk's coming in on his own. Nobody else speaks the language in the dressing room that obviously he is. He's obviously fluent as natural. If we had in the foresight and thought about maybe going back to Katowice and bringing somebody else in who speaks and maybe have that opportunity just to settle in a little bit quicker, you know, we talked. I can't remember who it was last year. Was it Freddie? Or sorry, was it Frankie Duvillier?
Frankie, yep.
You know, Frankie came in. Yes, English speaking, that's fine. But he found it really difficult because he was living on his own. And this is the one thing that I believe that the majority of the teammates or the guys that we help playing in the Giants are either living with their girlfriend or partner, wife. or they're living with a teammate. Yes, there's one or two that live on their own. But that's the bit for me that I think we should get in all guys. Everybody should be living at least. And, you know, it's difficult because, as I said, it just thinks that maybe they see things about maybe settling a little bit. And Davey, again, you know, he just nailed it right in the head there by saying, you know, would it take him back? Absolutely, 100%. Mm. However, just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's really, I mean, I just looked at the stats there for Gabby's 5 points in
3 years.
Sean Dupuy, he's 5 points in 4 games. Do you know what I mean? So, yes, I don't think the French League's as tough as what it is in the UK, but listen, we wish the best of them. Look, there's once a chance, always a chance. And unless they go on to play for somebody else in their league.
I think, just to wrap this one, I think that the big thing for him as well is the fact that he wasn't maligned in Belfast. The fan base loved him. You know, they really want, there was a real willingness to get behind him, as they are with all the chance, but a real willingness for him to try and succeed. But unfortunately, it maybe just wasn't the right time. Go on.
But that's a very good point. Some players, the fans turn on them.
Yep.
You know, they can see a lack of effort, or they can see just he's just not good enough, you know, and things can turn that way on them. I even think Sean Dupuy, Jesse, you know, guys that have gone on and guys that will potentially go on between now and the signing deadline, because we can't keep everybody probably for the rest of the season, once injuries are out of the way. Bronx, everybody loved him. He had that energy. He went flat to the mat every shift. Okay, it didn't work out for him, but he just had that. And I agree with Cez kind of agreed with me. I would love to see a time when Patrick Vronka could come back here and play again, because I think he's a bit of unfinished business in Belfast. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked out at this stage for him. But look, you can look down the roster and critique all the signings in terms of recruitment. I think Patrick Vronka was a well-recruited player. Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Absolutely. We wish him well in Gap, and hopefully he'll do well there and wherever he goes in his future career. Okay, so we're now joined by the head coach of the Belfast Giants, Adam Keefe. How are you, man?
Not bad, yourself?
Yeah, good. Happy New Year to you. First of all, you're now on your way back from Dundee after the 3-2 victory over the Stars. A little bit of revenge as to what took place just the other day at the SSE Arena. How do you feel the boys reacted?
That's a loaded question. the first 40 minutes were not great, to be completely honest with you. I think way too many penalties kind of disrupted or didn't allow us to get into the flow of the game and didn't allow me to play the lines correctly. And a lot of players sat on the bench and a lot of players had to kill penalties for, you know, the better part of the first 40 minutes, which, you know, makes it tough to gain any momentum going into those games, especially on the road. But the third period, to have a gutsy comeback like we did, is certainly something to build on. Something that, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure we've done a come from behind a 2-goal deficit this season. So it's something certainly to build on and something to believe in. And, we certainly know when we're at our best, we're a very tough team to beat. It's about finding that best consistently and also having that belief that when we don't have our best, that we can come back and see that game out as well, like we did tonight.
Adam, over the Christmas period now, you've had 6 games in just over 10 days. You have 4-2 record. What was your aspirations heading into those 6 games?
We didn't have... we had a segment goal, but not... It didn't include the two before Christmas.
So earlier on, gentlemen, I was telling you about when you was. If you look over your left, up in the hill, lit up there.
I have to come back to you here.
William Wallace stands.
I'm just learning about William Wallace.
And the
freedom!
With a bottle.
The tower there?
See up in the very, very hill.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a castle there.
Gotta keep us in Paddy's quality.
Oh, yeah. We're learning about William Wallace while Kiefer is.
So what about the four games then, just over the Christmas period? Your what was your aspirations leading into it?
Well, obviously we want to win them all. The home game last against Dundee was a setback for us, and certainly one that we weren't happy about. We wanted to correct that, and all. Obviously you can't get it back, so you want to correct it tonight. Through the first 40 minutes, I don't think anything really went our way, and from penalties to a number of things didn't really go our way. We had some bad bounces. Shane Owen did very well to keep us in that game and give us that chance to come back in that third period, and that was important for us to have that and go through that.
And you talk about the Monday night game against Dundee, tonight's game against Dundee again. Another challenge that you've found it really tough against the Stars this year. That's now, I'm pretty sure that's them done for the season, unless we get them in the playoffs, which you're probably happy about. But 4-4 record against a team of Dundee's quality. I'm sure you're not happy with if you had offered you that at the start of the season.
No, to be completely honest with you, no. But if you take into account the highly successful season we had last year, we went 500 against the Dundee Stars last year. So, they're a very tough team to beat from time to time. I think they get very excited to play against the Belfast Giants. I think that they are a very opportunistic team. They defend really hard, and I think any teams that come to the SSE that we're facing an added challenge that teams come to that arena and they're excited to play, and they obviously have their backs up to play against the Belfast Giants. And, we need to combat that with being ready to go for a full 60 minutes. And on Monday we weren't, and we got stung as a result of that. And it was important for us to come here and get the 2 points. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't as I would have liked it to have been, but the 2 points nonetheless is very important for us.
Elgin Pearce comes into the lineup from the Dundee Stars over the last number of weeks, and a power play goal early in his Giants career, a power play goal today. Is that what he was in to bring that sort of special team scoring?
Not necessarily, no. I think he was brought in as a guy that competes very hard and is consistent, and that's what we were after at that moment. And I thought he's done exactly that since he's been here. He's made plays on the power play. He's finished on the power play. He's finished 5-on-5. He's made plays 5-on-5. But not only that, I feel that his play has been very consistent throughout the entire time he's been here, and that's important. And hopefully long may it continue.
With the way the results have gone over the last number of weeks, you've rung those changes in likes of Palmberg and Pearce and Goodwin and these guys coming in. How do you feel those changes have worked, or do you still feel there's still a lot of work to do?
There's always work to do, that's for sure. Anytime we're not showing consistency in our game, there's always work to be done. But certainly, I feel like we've improved this hockey team. I think that on a nightly basis, you only need to look at the stat sheet and watch the game in particular to see exactly that. So we certainly have made improvements to the team, but we're not out of the woodworks yet. We need to keep building and build some consistency here.
Adam, moving into this weekend, Coventry Blaise, it's been a team that, again, you've done pretty well over the last couple of seasons to head coach Giants. They come up with a big result last night with a 5-0 victory over the Cardiff Devils. What sort of challenge are you expecting from Danny Stewart's team?
A very tough one. I think last time we saw them, I think they took it to us pretty good in Coventry. We've had some success against them as well, so I expect it to be a very tough game, a hard-fought game. They're a team that defends well as well. And if you give them chances, they have some quality hockey players that can finish. So we're certainly going to have to be much better than we were tonight. I fully expect a bounce-back performance at home. I think that we owe that to our fan base. And, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back on home ice on Saturday and Sunday and trying to see out this Christmas period with, you know, what we had originally planned to do, and that was to win them all.
Just over halfway in the league campaign, we talked about this the other day, about the team that shows going to show a bit of more consistency is going to, you know, have a better chance to win the league. There's not a lot of space at the top of that table at the minute with regards to the Sheffield, Cardiff, Belfast, Nottingham. You know, if anybody gets on a 3-4-5 game run, you know, they can go on to you know, push on for the rest of the season itself. You think you're going to be in that position, obviously, with the changes that you've made now? Are you just waiting for this group to start pulling it together on a more regular basis?
We're working towards that for sure. I think it still has, you know, just when we think that we're starting to find some consistent form, we have a lapse, and you know, we're trying to iron that out and trying to find that consistent form, and it's still a work in progress. I mean, it's all we can do is keep pushing forward and wait for it to click. And I thought tonight was a big step in that progress. You know, all things being considered, showing up and having a bad first 40 minutes wasn't going our way, and then sticking with the program and finding a way to win that game. You know, that's what good teams do, and we need to start building that belief that when we show up and we play well and we know we play to our identity and the way that we can play, that we're going to have success. But when we show up and we don't have our legs, or we're not feeling it, or things are not going our way, that we can find a way. If we can just stick with the program, and we will find a way by the end of the game. And I thought that's what happened tonight. So it was good to see tonight, and we need to look to build on that for this weekend, you know, especially going home against a tough team like Coventry, who is looking to climb the table. We're looking to separate ourselves from them. So it's a very tough challenge for us, and especially with short-bodied, you know, from the lineup that we had a couple of weeks ago. It's changed drastically. So new players get new opportunities, and a new time to shine and earn, I guess, more ice time.
Well, Coach, as you say, you know, that game, those two games against Coventry coming up this weekend, you've got a bit of time just to rest up and prepare. We appreciate your time on this bus trip back, and for letting us dip into your little history lesson. But safe trip back, mate.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Time for December's Player of the Month Award, sponsored by our good friends at Phonacab. We put out the nominations on who you thought was the best player for the Belfast Giants over December and the Christmas period. And from your nominations, almost 60 nominations, we've drawn up the following shortlist of four. So, for your vote this month, number 9, Ben Lake. Number 50, Shane Owen. Number 64, David Goodwin. And number 91, Rickard Palmberg. Voting is now open on our Twitter account at AVFTB, or twitter.com/AVFTB, and will it be open until Saturday afternoon? Get your votes on there on who you think is the best player for the Belfast Giants in December, and we'll hand out the award this weekend. And as always, a big thanks to Phonacab for sponsoring the award. Yep, so there are your nominations. Shane Owen, David Goodwin, Ben Lake, and Rickard Palmberg. I'll start with you, Sis. Who's your choice? I think Ben, I know. You made your nomination. I think I know who your choice would be.
No, Ben Lake for sure. I think Ben's probably been our most consistent player in every game this season. He brings a little bit of everything. You know, he can score goals, he can get points, and you know, he's tough. He plays in all situations. And a lot of the work he does goes unnoticed. I mean, I don't know what position he sits in and blocks shots. I know he's, obviously D-man usually get a lot higher than that, but I think he's right up our side of things. Ben Lake for me has been outstanding in December. Yes, we've had a couple of dodgy results. But again, if you talk with Davey, he was at the game in Cardiff. I bet Ben Lake was one of the ones that actually stood out compared to everybody else. So it's for this month, yeah, absolutely. Always good mentions with like Lowney, who's come in and done really well. David Goodwin's he got a game winning goal tonight. And who's the other one?
So Shane Owen, David Goodwin, Ben Lake, Richard Palmberg.
You know, and away again, Owen and Anst. But for me, I think it's Ben Lake.
David.
Yes, and I'm going to agree with Sis. I think Lager has been pretty good all month long. You asked for the hit stats. Just give me 1 second. Sis, there's four players in the hits. You know, you have Pelly leading it by an absolute country mile at the minute due to Rayner being probably out for so long. And as Rayner said, he doesn't need to hit players. He just gets to the puck first. Bobby Farnham, Kevin Rayne and Ben Lake, you know, and then you've like a gap of 20 hits down to the rest of forwards. So, you know, Bobby Farnham, Ben Lake are the two forwards doing the hitting, Pelly and Kevin Rayne at the back end. He turned one over. Was it the very first goal the other night? He smashes someone in the corner, turns the puck over. I think it's Smotherman pops it into Palmberg, who's really patient. Rounds, I think that was against the Clan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First goal of the night, and Palmberg tucks it away. Palmberg, for me, he only came in sort of whatever it was, 15th of December, something came in. A very difficult situation, that away game in Cardiff. Nobody played well. He was just off a plane. He looked lost, and we'll put a lot of that down to fatigue of travelling, new systems and stuff that he didn't get. Didn't have a good game in Cardiff at all. Then we had the home game at Cardiff, which you've seen better than me, says, you know, you were there live. And then we went on that little mini run, Fife Clan a couple of times, where we've done really well, and he starred. You know, even at the weekend, you know, we say we stunk on Monday night against the Stars. We talked to Pash afterwards, and he said about, you know, I felt we were a bit lucky that first period. Like, we hit the bar, I think, 3 or 4 times, or posts and bars. That could have been a very different game. It was a one-goal game. I know they run in 2 empty netters, but never really count them. You know, 4-3 game with minutes to go. And we had our opportunities, as you say. We hit the bar 4 times. They had plenty of opportunities too, to be fair. But like tonight, you know, those games against how the overs didn't come in, got it tonight, but those things happen. But to cut a long story short, I've made a short story very long, or Ben Lake.
I agree with the two of you. I think Ben Lake, I think David Goodwin, he's what, 3 goals in his last 3 games, 2 points today with the game winning goal, has put in a good shift, and I think that he's probably one for the future. But I think regards to the whole of December, Ben Lake's been absolutely solid. So, but it's not just down to us. The Twitter poll is now open. Get your votes in at twitter.com/AVFTB, at AVFTB on Twitter. The poll will finish on Saturday afternoon, and hopefully we'll get the award handed out this weekend at one of the games against the Coventry Blaze. And a big thanks, as always, to Funicab for sponsoring this award. Right.
Paddy, just before you go on, I'm going to jump in with just on the back of, you were talking about Goodwin there. Sis was talking about the new players that came in. You know, if I go back to just something that I track here, game winning goals, first star of the game. If I go back to the Fife game, so the 22nd, Elgin Pierce, Malamats, next game, Palmberg Malamats, next game, Goodwin Malamats, Reddick then. I don't know who was Malamats tonight. Then you go back to, you know,
Shane Owen got tonight.
Okay. Game winning goal, Elgin Pierce, game winning goal, David Goodwin. Game winning goal, I assume David Goodwin tonight.
Yep. So those changes have an effect.
The changes have an effect.
It's January.
I'm just talking about since, you know, those guys who came in, you know, they've scored the game winning goals, they've got the first star of the game, they've made a difference, they've been difference makers.
Fair point.
Thank you.
Around the league, a couple of points. Scott Jacklin left the Clan due to family reasons, and our thoughts go with him as to whatever those are. Sheffield Nottingham traded blows over New Year's. Their traditional Boxing Day fixture seems to be shifting New Year's, but each of them taking points at each other's barn. Guildford beaten tonight by the bitten today by the Manchester Storm, but continue to play well, and they're sitting fifth in the league. Looking at the league table, Sheffield are leading the way, 32 games played, 43 points. Then the Cardiff Devils, who have played four fewer games, but only 3 points behind, so it's 28 and 40. Then ourselves, the Belfast Giants, 30 games played, 38 points. Nottingham Panthers, 38 and 36. Guildford Flames, 28 played, 33. Then Coventry, Glasgow have dropped down to 7th, Fife in 8th. Manchester and Dundee sit outside of the playoff places as we come into the new year, with Dundee sitting at the bottom, 31 games, 21 points. But in regards to news of the last couple of days, I'll start with Blair Riley playing in the Spengler Cup. I'm going to talk to you about this, Sis, as you had the opportunity to commentate yesterday on the, or day before yesterday, on the final, the Spengler Cup final. You were kind of doing it for Free Sports. But regards to Blair Riley getting the selection for Team Canada, quite unexpected, but congratulations to him.
Yeah, I spoke to him when he got selected, and then I was talking to Todd Kelman there on New Year's Eve as well. And you know what? Absolutely fair play to him. You know, we all know as a guy, he's a top lad. Obviously, yeah. He plays for Cardiff Devils now, and his name changed by people when he went over there to Bran, really. But you know, it's a phenomenal effort to be accepted into the Team Canada to represent your country. Is just, it's, you know, it's pinnacle of the career. It doesn't make a difference what all our titles he wins. If he goes on to, you know, pick up a runners-up trophy in the playoffs this year and run all the titles that he won in Belfast, anywhere else, the one that he remember is playing for Team Canada in the Spengler Cup. He got a couple of games. He got the second round-robin game, and then he got the semi-final. Unfortunately, he didn't get into the final, but, you know, great to see him do it. John Terry put his uniform on and get out onto the ice there for the trophy award, and obviously the medal. And he was, when we were sitting watching the game and commentating, and he was saying, get my hair wet. All the boys have got their helmets off. So congratulations to Ryan. It's just it's a phenomenal effort. I'm sure everybody in Cardiff is very happy for him. I know Todd Kelman was, and you know, don't forget, leaving to go and play for Team Canada leaves the Devils short. So I think Todd needs a big pat in the back for it as well, because, you know, going out and leaving your team short, and obviously Joey Martin get hurt the other night. I don't know if he played the next night against Coventry or last night against Coventry, but you know, for him to go out there and play for the Maple Leafs in the front of the shirt, congratulations. It was a really good match. Trinette's just, unfortunately, it was a little bit too far for them, and Canada thoroughly deserved the game. And Sheds and I, you know, obviously made the effort to call the game and did our best as well. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Getting to call a competition like a Spengler Cup final is just insane, especially when I talk about a in Belfast Giants TV.
So biased.
I know I am so biased, but obviously with two teams that I don't really care much about, I'm probably a little bit less biased. It's definitely a highlight of my commentating duties that I get involved in. So thanks very much to Free Sports and Aaron Murphy for setting it all up for me.
Tell you what, mate, going coast to coast with the NCAA and now the Spengler Cup, all from here. On, also, of course, on A View from the Bridge, you hear the voices.
I'm a little disappointed that he's saying it was one of his highlights. You know, I was on the air with him the night before, but whatever.
I said, David said one of the highlights. I didn't say. To be honest with you, the best game, and all the time I've been calling Belfast Giants games the most fun I had. And the most memorable for me was when you were beside me in the Continental Cup final.
Oh, it was amazing, mate, wasn't it? We are blessed with some of the stuff we get to do with this club, mate. But that was just incredible. Both of us, like at the end when Dustin Johnner scores, oh my goodness, I've never heard a place like it.
I know.
Unreal.
Neil Whiteside put together a robot with the highlights from 2019. Unfortunately, this season there hasn't been many. It was all last year, and thinking back to the game against the Cardiff Devils at home and the laptop goal. Obviously the big save from Besko against Katowice in the semi finals of the Continental Cup, which was just absolutely insane. And then, you go on and you talk about Chris Higgins tapping, to get it back to 2-1. Dustin Johnner to get it to 2-2. We hit the post in the shootout. We hit the post in the overtime. We talk about that 2-2 goal. Can you just imagine how annoying I would have been to every single UK hockey fan if we had managed to win that trophy in the SSE Arena? I'd have been going here, like.
One of the other major pieces of news in the last 7 days is, Davey, the retirement of Tom Darnell from refereeing. The game that was on Free Sports just the other day was his final game in the number 9 refereeing shirt. Sad for the sport in this country, a guy who's represented regards to refereeing internationally and probably is regarded incredibly highly amongst not just fans but players alike.
Tom Darnell probably over the last 10 years at least has been the most consistent and best of the refs. That's why he gets most of the big games. We remember him, and we put a tweet out there yesterday, grappling with Barry Nightgar on the Never Forgive the 22nd of October 2002. Right. He was the first one in trying to manhandle Barry Nightgar down the ground after he was sucker punching Pax and Schulte in the back of the head. Ernest Stripes had literally earned his stripes as a linesman until he got the call up to the referee. And he'll have his detractors and he'll have made bad decisions and he'll look back on and go, that was it. And you know what? Since the advent of social media, he's probably one of the ones that is the most active in sort of putting down trolls, which isn't great for you, he'll answer criticism. I did give a really bad call. I can't remember just off the top of my head. I think it might have been last season at Belfast. And he was straight on it didn't affect I think we won it in overtime or won it in penalty shots or something. And he was straight on Twitter going, I've seen that again. I'm sorry. That was awful. He'll admit when he's wrong on like some other officials. He shall remain nameless. But, good luck to him. Good luck to him and whatever he does in the future. I'm sure he'll stay involved in the game in some capacity. A la Mike Hicks, has stayed involved in the game in the capacity that he has. He's too good and he's too long in the tooth and he's got too much experience and too much to offer just to walk away from hockey, so I hope he doesn't. And I guess as someone who's always backed up the referees and stuff, I thank him for his service to the Elite League and the ISL before and wish him well.
Absolutely. He says he's a man who's been on The View from the Bridge a number of times. I remember interviewing him. I might have had a few shandies, but I remember interviewing him after a game once as well in Rockies. He was only too happy to start and chat with us. He goes with the best wishes of, I'd say, 99% of the fan base. You always get a few, you'll have a moan.
I don't know if it would be 99%, but it's right up there. good Spurs man. Season ticket. He's a real nice lad and, he'll be missed because, we're not blessed with the most consistent referees in the world throughout this league. And Davey said, he's always been very positive towards the league and until the other night when, he was a bit, brassed off that, there wasn't a couple of calls, but we'll move on. I agree with Davey. I think he's been the most consistent official that we've had over the last 10, 12, 14 years. So, unfortunately, as I say, that hopefully he's okay. I know that he was sick there. Yeah. Was it last season, the season before? So hopefully it's nothing to do with that. Hopefully it's work related and just, a time issue. I know he hasn't been doing that many games this year. Certainly sad to see him hang the skates up, but, I absolutely agree with Davey. I think he needs to be, kept within the group. I think he needs to be kept there for passing on his experience, passing on the information. He's quality on Twitter as well. He's not up to Paddy Smith standards, but he certainly is. He's quality on Twitter for sure. So best of luck to him. And come on, you Spurs.
One last thing before we just quickly talk about Coventry is, before the games against the Coventry Blaze on Saturday and Sunday, it's the second edition of the Friendship Series, the female NCAA games, and this year it's between Merrimack College and Quinnipiac, who obviously their men's team played there a number of years ago in the Friendship Four. Says you're behind the mic for these ones. What do you think we can expect from these games?
I really enjoyed the games. I was very surprised, to be honest. I didn't know really what sort of standard to expect, but there was a lot of girls there. There were two teams last year that came in that were very, very talented. You know, some of them have actually been on to play in the Olympics, some of them have played in the World Championships for the ladies as well. So, and I have no doubt that the two teams that are here this weekend, Merrimack and Quinnipiac, have tried to brush up on my homework with them as well over the last days. And really looking forward to calling the two games. First game's on Saturday at 3 o'clock, the SSE, and it's free. So, you know, if you have nothing to do Saturday afternoon, you know, get down to the SSE Arena. It's free to get in Saturday. And isn't it 12 o'clock on Sunday?
Yeah.
The second game. So, free to get in. It's you know, you talk about hockey being a sport where it's a lot of role models. But the girls that play in Northern Ireland don't really have too many people to look up to, if you understand what I'm saying. So it gives them the opportunity to see the likes of Caitlin Morris. Caitlin's away with Team GB at the minute, and the best of luck to her. I think they're in Poland, actually. And, you know, Caitlin's had the opportunity to go to North America. I know she'd love to go back and you know, play at the level that these girls are coming in to play at as well. But as I say, it just gives a few different role models to look at and that are coming into the country. And again, if you're free, get down, because the standard is absolutely outstanding.
Davey, it's another, like I say, we said this last year, and this expansion of the Friendship Four to have the Friendship Series, another feather in the cap for the organisation.
Yeah, it's great. And exactly what it says there, you know, about having contemporary role models for girls that are playing the game. Obviously, the greatest skater, the greatest female hockey player that ever lived, born in Lurgan, Geraldine Heaney,
friend of the show.
You know, friend of the show indeed. About it. You know, somebody that maybe older women that are watching, well, I don't mean older, I mean, be very careful what I'm saying when I'm talking about women here. You know, people will have heard of Geraldine Heaney, but, you know, it's new girls on the block, you know, that are wanting to play the game. Hopefully someday they'll be talking about the Kate Morrisons, you know, the Caitlin Morrisons and stuff out there doing her thing with Team GB. But yeah, feather in the cap for the organisation. They said they would never get NCAA hockey here. Look what's happened over the last number of years. It's only getting bigger. It's getting better. And now with this Friendship Series, with the women's game coming in again, if you can get down to again, it's good standard of hockey. It's free hockey. You're in the arena early for the Coventry Blaze game. What more could you want?
100%. Get yourself down there this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, before the games against the Coventry Blaze, for those games in the NCAA Friendship Series. Merrimack College and Quinnipiac University. Right, lads, the last item on the agenda is, of course, those two games against the Coventry Blaze. Saturday 7 p.m, Sunday 4 p.m, both at the SSE Arena. Coventry coming off an absolute thumping that they gave Cardiff. 5-0, they shut out the home side in the Viola Arena, and they come in looking to do what damage to the Belfast Giants. What, David, do you think Coventry are going to bring this weekend?
Oh, they've been going pretty well of late under Danny Stewart. I see Rob on Twitter saying, no, give him a contract for life kind of thing, because he's done brilliant things over the last couple of years. Luke Ferrara is doing really, really well there.
Yep.
Beneficiary
with a couple of goals as well.
Yeah, so. Beneficiaries of you know, increased ice time. And that's a really interesting conversation that Nane says and others have been having over the last while about British players. You know, you look at Kieran Long last year in Manchester, probably playing top three, top six, getting a lot of ice time, getting 30 goals. Coming in here, completely different role, third line, fourth line, getting limited ice time, points aren't there. You know, and Luke Ferrara, seeing Sheffield fans talking about him, you know, oh, why did we let him go? Well, because he wanted ice time and he's gone and got it. And, you know, players have to, you know, find their level. And I think Coventry come with speed again. You know, we've talked about this. A lot of teams this season are built with speed. But, you know, I don't really like the start part of the show, you know, Paddy. I think we need to concentrate on our own game. And I think if we can follow the process, you know, stick with all those cliches that we've talked about. First goal, again, for this team is so crucial. I know we got the first goal against the Dundee Stars on what night was it, says now. Get all mixed up with what night Monday. It is when it's Christmas.
Christmas,
Monday night.
You never know, Dan.
Yeah. Don't know what day it is. Don't know what night. I have no clue. Don't even know what date it is. We ran into penalty trouble. We need to be disciplined. We need to be better on the power play when we get opportunities. And we need to get that first goal. We need to win face-off. We need to do all the hockey 101 stuff. And if we follow those things, we'll win the games.
Simon, you're, of course, behind the mic for this. Coventry are going to be a danger.
Yeah, of course they are. You know, this league this year is, you know, the party right from top to bottom. You know, Dundee, bottom team in the league, came in and handed to us the SS Arena on Monday night. And then tonight they gave us a real scare as well. You know, the company plays, you talk about look for hour, don't forget about Ross Venus. You know, Ross Venus has been there for a lifetime, for God's sake. And, you know, I think it's 9 or 10 seasons now. And, you know, Ferrar's got 20 goals in 30 games, which is insane. Like, but again, he's getting the ice time. He's, you know, you'll get rewarded for the effort you put in, and you know, Ferrar's playing very, very well. But then Venus got I think it was one goal he got last night against Cardiff, maybe two. But, you know, they're going to be a threat in the team. They're missing David Brawl, and we talk about, you know, or sending condolences, and I think we should. David Brawl as well. He's heading back to North America. His father's passed away. So, you know, again, the hockey family never likes to see that. And our thoughts are with David and his family. And he's in even at the say, a Coventry plays player. So he's going to be missing them, and they're going to miss him this weekend. But, you know, he's a big loss for them. He's a big body. He throws it about. He's scored goals against us this year. So, look, again, we're missing bodies. I have no idea how many guys there have got in their lineup. Who played last night and who's not going to play this weekend. You get to the stage where hockey games are coming thick and fast and injuries are picked up and the other people, if they miss out, they're going to have to step up. Plus, they brought in a new goalie. So, you know, we'll have to see how he gets on. And obviously, he came up with a big game last night with a shutout in Cardiff. So, you know, he's going to try and find his feet, and he's over the 900 mark in the save percentage and 2.81 goals against. So, it's going to be very, very tough.
Those games Saturday and Sunday. Saturday 7 p.m, Sunday 4 p.m. Get yourself down there to the SSE, but get down there early and watch some female NCAA between Merrimack and Quinnipiac, and stick around for those two Belder games against the Coventry Blaze. And if you can't, you can follow them on Belfast Giants TV with Mr. Kitchen. Any other business, boys?
I've got one.
Go on.
Just wanted to wish the best of luck to, because I don't know when we're doing our next show, but Carter Hamill and Max Stewart head away on this to the Team GB camp to play in the Youth Olympics in Lausanne. So they're going out there. It's a 3-on-3 tournament. The boys are both heading out. On the, I'd say, the 7th of January. So best of luck to them. You know, phenomenal achievement for those two kids itself, and obviously the Belfast Junior Giants as well, to get the recognition. And, you know, I was talking to them the other day for what did a wee interview with them, and Carter, he's got 9 games played this year. Unfortunately for them, they're only going to play, I think, a 16-game season in the Scottish League at that level. And then they're 15. They're both of them are 15 years of age. They're stepping up to play the under 20s as well. So I don't know what ice time, if any, they're getting when they're away for that level. And I know it's, you know, you're playing against young men at that stage. But Carter's 64 points in 9 games. Mac has 56 points in 9 games. And then Carter's twin brother Cameron, I think he's 52. So, you know, you're talking the cuts of 170 points in 9 games. That's not the best, but let's say, they just talk about, you talk about the quality. And, you know, we've talked about on different shows about, obviously there's nobody available right now to step up and play for the Belfast Giants. It's getting closer, guys. It is getting closer. Yeah. These two and three and four, maybe what they haven't talked about, maybe Kel, who's Taft's assistant now, on the bench, NHLA Kel. Kel's a top quality defenseman as well. And you're getting closer. They really are. And getting to this level and scoring that many points is at junior level, and hopefully get the opportunity to skate with the boys next year, maybe the year after, or maybe go to college, NCAA. You know, it's they're two of them are certainly dreaming big. So best of luck to them, and hopefully Team GB can bring up back a medal.
Here, here. David, as for you.
Well, yeah, but before we go on that, that's one thing I would love to see a bit of a payoff from the friendship for, would be to see Northern Ireland athletes getting some Absolutely. Sort of scholarship with the NCAA schools. You know, let the schools put their money where their mouth. They're putting money in. They're obviously coming here now. But let there be some form of legacy to it as well. You know, put a kid from Northern Ireland through college. Doesn't have to necessarily be a hockey guy. It would be great. Hockey guy, hockey girl, it would be great if that was the case, because it's been through a hockey tournament. But, you know, get some students from Northern Ireland, get some athletes from Northern Ireland through into those NCAA colleges to let them see what it's all about. But yes, the only thing, Paddy, I have is Bleed Tail.
Yep.
I don't know if you've updated the spreadsheet, how many pints we're at, roughly. Any idea?
No, I need to do that. I'm back in the office, so something I'll do that tomorrow.
You can run those stats for next week. But, you know, I got a really interesting text about my own blood, which I know you did as well. I wasn't expecting it to say, you know, Rick, your blood has been on a journey. It's now in Hammersmith, I think it was. So my pint has gone to help three people in London, which is great. I've got a funny blood type, so that's great that that's been able to go there. It was a really nice wee text with a link to a video in it, and it showed you all what happens to your blood after you give it. Yeah. If you can, get involved with this. We thank our sponsored Phonocab. We know that Robert Fitzpatrick's going to do something extra special as well. We're talking to him the other night about it, as well as giving those pints out. So keep your eye on that. But if you're able to give blood, you can help people with stuff that you don't need anymore. It's quite cathartic. It's the start of a new year. You know, if you can, I'm not digging out anybody that can't, because actually we're doing it for the people that can't do it. So if you can give blood, please give blood. It's dead, dead easy. It doesn't hurt. It's over quick. You get a free cup of tea and as many club oranges as you can eat. So it's great.
Do love a club.
Other flavors are available.
Back up here a minute. Club orange?
Oh no, not like the biscuit, not the drink.
No, I know. We don't get club oranges in Northern Ireland blood transfusion. Sure, I'm gonna have. I'm there tomorrow.
I had a bit of club or something.
I thought you'd go for the green one.
You get custard creams. Oh well, occasionally around about the kind of get, which are lovely because they come in little bags and you sort of sit there for an hour and eat them. But I'm out there again tomorrow. But lunchtime.
You throwing out complete date, because I think I had two and Ruby had one and Lily had one. They didn't even give any blood.
I had a mint club and a cup of tea. It was great. But same as yourself, Davey, I got a text message yesterday saying thanking me for the donation that I gave the other week, and that my blood would have been issued to the university hospital at Aintree. You know, and it's a nice That's little thought that they're able to tell you, you know, and track it and tell. And it keeps an interest and keeps you involved in what they're doing. It's a fantastic thing to, if you can get out there to do. I can't say anything more than what Davey's already said. And it's great, says you're going again tomorrow. I think it's we'll keep pushing this Bleed Tail 100, and hopefully we'll get a lot more. I'll update those stats and bring them and put them out on a view from the bridge. Anything else? Is that us?
That's all for me.
That's all from me.
And on that note then, the two games this weekend against the Coventry Blaze, 7 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday respectively. Of course, the NCAA Friendship Series between Merrimack College and Quinnipiac takes place. That's free hockey that takes place before those games. So get yourself down to the SSE Arena and get yourself involved in what is going to be a great weekend, a great festival of hockey this weekend at the arena. And if you can't get down to the games, of course, Giants TV will take you through those Giants games. Big thanks again to Adam Keefe for his time and the history lesson. We'll be back next week to cover the games as always. Follow us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud and the likes. And of course, kingdomofthegiants.com for, you know, our feature articles, game reports and interviews of the likes. Thank you, Mr. McGimsey, and thank you, Mr. Kitchen.
Good night.
Thanks, boys.
A very happy new year to one and all, and wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.